This morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 3, Acts chapter number 3 this morning. We're going to look at this sermon title, Such As I Have. I don't know about you, but in the world and days that we live in with so many challenging things happening, and you want to help, you want to be a blessing, you want to make a difference in the world. You see the challenges that your families have. You see the challenges that your country has. You see your friends. And you're like, what can I do? What can I do to help? It seems like I can't do anything. And in the story here, we see the story of Peter and John. They're heading to temple. They're heading to temple to pray. And they meet this lame man. And this lame man asks him for silver and gold. And Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none. And he says this statement, and you look at it, and I really enjoy it. And verse number 6 says, silver and gold have I none, but as such as I give thee, such as I have, give I thee. And I want to encourage people that are believers today. We have something to offer this world. We have something that we can make a difference with. It's not we ourselves, it's the Lord. It's not a silver and gold per se. It's the Lord. It's not. And I know what most people say today. And I know what most people that sit in churches like ours, and they sit and they say, I can't do anything. I can't make a difference. Things are so bad. Things are so tough. I'm so untalented. I get tongue-tied, tongue-twisted. I just can't do this. And the reality is we do have something to offer this world. It might not be what they're asking for. It might not be what they're looking for. It might not even be what they think they need, but it is what they truly need. And that's what's happening today as Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And at this point in time, Pentecost has happened. Thousands of people have gotten saved. They're probably pretty popular. They've seen this man probably more than once as they're heading to the temple. And this man looks at them and he asks silver and gold. And he's asking for alms. He's a lame man. He's been lame since his mother's womb. And he's there. And what most people do, they ignore him. They just keep on walking by him. It's sort of like those people that you see on the side of the roads. And thankfully, it doesn't happen very much in Elizabeth City. But sometimes you see them out there at Walmart saying, please help. And there's these people with cardboard signs. And they're there. And what do most people do? They ignore them. And why do they ignore them? It's because they're heartless people? No, it's because you don't know who that person is. You don't know if they're really telling the truth. You go and you read some things about stories online that they brag sometimes. People that hold those signs, they brag because they've made lots of money just by standing there, getting dressed up and looking poor. And I'm not saying all are like that. And if you give to people like that, I think you should be led by the Lord on what you should do and should not do, because there are people that truly have needs and people who could use the help and could honestly use the help. But at the same time, there are a lot of con artists out there, a lot of scammers. So what do you do? I mean, you're there and you're thinking, hey, I don't got a lot. I don't have much. But if that person really needs something, I wouldn't mind helping. So this morning, let's think about this thought, such as I have. What is it that you have to offer this world? And if you're a Christian today and you're a believer, you've been born again, you have so much to offer this world. And right, they might not think they need it. They might not think that's what you really need. You know what? It's truly what they need in this world. Let's jump in here. Acts chapter number 3. Let's look in verse number 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So we would think about 3 p.m. during the daytime. They're going there. Once again, they're probably meeting a group of other believers that just got saved in chapter number 2. We saw there was thousands. And it says a certain man lame from his mother's womb. And I want you to picture this man with me for a second. He's there. He's been lame since his mother's womb and was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So you have this beautiful temple. You have this beautiful gate that's there, and he's been laid there. Somebody had to pick him up. They had to carry him, and they had to lay him there just so way he could ask for people's money, so he could beg for money, so he could survive, and so he could feed. He could get food and maybe even a family there. And he's there, and he's asking for it. And he's been like that. I don't know about you, but, it's... You see kids sometimes, and sometimes kids don't develop like other kids. This guy never knew what it was to walk. He's never known what it was like to run. He's never known what it's like to jump, at least not yet. You see in a few minutes he starts leaping even inside the temple. And so it is a rough time. Thankfully, our two sons are, you know, they definitely learned to walk and they definitely learned to run. They definitely learned to jump. Sometimes they do it in inappropriate places, but, you know, whatever. That's what sometimes kids do. I have a younger brother. He's 10 years younger than I am. So he's really, really young. And I remember watching him. Many of you know he has something called Angelman syndrome. And he's one, and it's a disease that's probably one in a million or whatever. And I remember as a 10-year-old boy watching him, he didn't start walking. He would crawl, but he didn't know how to use his knees as well. And so he would just kind of scoot himself. And so, you know, some kids develop a little slower than others. And he wasn't talking like when he was supposed to. So probably about 18 months, they go up, and we were from Maryland, so they would go to John Hopkins, and they start running tests on him. They didn't know what was wrong. He didn't develop the way he was supposed to. And they had to put him on a special diet, and they had to start training him. And he knows how to walk. He knows how to, still doesn't know how to talk. He grunts a little bit, and he laughs a lot. He knows a few signs. They tried to teach him sign language, and, you know, he knows food. And he's like me, he always wants to eat. He's always pointing. He's like, you never feed the guy. And then he knows drink, and they try to teach him to sign for using the restroom and things like that. Just a few things that just coordinate with him. But I remember what it was like watching him not develop. And, you know, I love my brother, but it was sad. And I've learned, and the Lord taught me so much in his life, and he's taught my family so much in his life, and learned how to be, he's a special person the way that he's made, and I'm thankful for him, and he's been a blessing and encouragement. But I can imagine what this man is laying beside the gate there. He doesn't have a normal life. I hate asking for things. I don't know about you guys. Do you guys hate asking for things? I couldn't imagine having to sit by the gate asking people for their generosity. I don't like asking for things. I'd rather go work and do something else more than had to ask somebody for something. And you see the picture of him that's there. He's there, and he's in a bad way. And it's legitimate since his mother's womb. Now, that's the type of person who would be like, okay, what can we do to help them? Because that's our heart. We know there's something that's there. And he comes up, and the first point is the request. He comes up and asks this question. He says, pick it up, and it says, in verse number 2, it says, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So this guy has not asked to be this way. He's there, he's suffering, and he has to ask people for money. Some people have no problem with that. And like I said, there are people that are scammers that could care less about taking your money. That's not this guy here. Verse number 3, it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked an alms? And I'm sure it wasn't just Peter and John, but he's there and he's in a desperate spot. He has a need and he's saying, you know, alms for the poor. Do you have any alms? He's asking for something because he definitely has a need. He probably knows who Peter and John is. I think Peter and John probably would have been a guys if they had the money, would have been willing to help every once in a while. And he's there and he sees them. And so he's getting excited because he's probably seen them before, because it says it was every day. And Peter and John were faithful in going to the temple to pray. So I'm sure they've crossed paths before. They know this man's needs. It's obvious they've been seen. They maybe even watched the people as they carried him and just left him there day after day, just trying to earn a living in a sense. And he said, well, that's not really earning. It's what he could do, and it's what the society of that day had told him he should do in order to live off someone else's generosity. So he definitely has a need. So you think about the request there. And we'll stop for a second to talk about the point number one is the request. And I begin thinking about there are needs in the world. We'd be all foolish to say that there isn't needs in the world. You see the craziness that's happening in the world today. You wouldn't say, well, no, the world's great. It's perfect. It's fine. You know, nothing's wrong. And you guess you're a little bit short there somewhere, because there's a lot of problems. Now, what would the world say they need? I mean, you listen to, it's been a discouraging couple of weeks with our new president. And once again, I'm not a political guy, but some of the things that are happening, some of the things that are being said, you know, just you listen to it and it's like, Did somebody really just say that? They're afraid that they were going to die because of the riot? It's like, they can't really believe that. They just have to be saying this to try to cause people to feel sorry for them. And then you see all these executive orders happening right and left within the first few days, and you're like, this really can't be happening. There is great needs in the world. I looked up before service how much our deficit is. And on one website, it says over $27 trillion. But if you sit there and you watch the clock, it's rising as we're talking. And then you look, and then there's another website that says it's actually higher than that. The real deficit is $129 trillion. And, you know, and it was rising. There's needs that are there, and there's needs that's in this world. There's needs that are in America. There's needs that are in our family. There's needs. And then you have people that are calling out and saying, we need this. But in all reality, is that what they need? And like this man here, he had a legitimate need. He was asking for something that was legitimate, but it wasn't his greatest need. And when this group of people from our world is saying we need peace, they don't really want peace. They just want you to agree with them. They say they want unity, but then they turn around and when they get in power, they do everything to just rub it in the faces of the other people. And they say they need money and resources. Why? So they can just do more. They're crying out and saying, we want this, we need this, but it's not what they really need. And you look at it on the one little thing there, and when it said the deficit, it says each taxpayer's part of the deficit. That was like $800,000. And I'm thinking, that's not coming from me. Maybe it's coming from you guys. But there's a legitimate need, and they're asking for something that they think is going to, once again, they're not asking the taxpayer to pay $800,000. And if it was just everybody that lived in America, that number would drop down some because not everybody pays taxes, but that's a whole other message. But I'm saying there's a request here, and we got to consider what the request is. And the request that this man has, he had a legitimate need, and it was something that was really necessary. And the world is calling out, and they have needs, and they're asking for things, and they're saying we should do things, and they're saying we should be like this. You know, what can we do? What can we say? How can we help? And that's where I'm trying to show you where Peter and John walks up. And that day, Peter and John said, hey, silver and gold have I none. He says, what you're asking for, I don't have, but I do have something I can give you. There is something that I can help you with. So I want you to think about the request, and I want you to get the picture of that man that's laying there that truly has a need, and I want you to even use your imagination of the world that we live in today, and we see people all around us that have needs, and I'm not just talking about those that are holding signs or those that might be in a bind because of something that was above their own circumstance. I'm talking about the world in general. When they say that they want peace, but they're willing to kill unborn babies and they're willing to fight, and it's in their mind. They think they need something. They think that this is truly a tragic situation that needs to be fixed. Can we help them? No, we can't help them because it's not truth. It's not what they need because it's not truth to begin with. But we do have something that can help them. We can look at them and say, we can't help you because it goes against our conscience. It goes against God's word. But there is something in this world that we have to offer to them that they truly need, even though they don't even realize it. Even though they don't even see that they need it. How many times do we witness to somebody over and over? I'm good. Fine. I don't need that. I'm glad you have that. But I don't need that. But we know deep down inside what the Bible says and Scripture says, there's a desperate need that's there. And so we cannot be the answer. I guess what the first point is, we cannot be the answer for everyone. We cannot meet the needs of people who are going against truth, who's going against wrong, who's doing things that are wrong. They have a need, but they're not seeing their need for what it is. But we have something that can help them, even though they don't see it. This man here that was asking for the alms, I don't know about you, but if I saw Peter and John, I knew what Peter and John had the capability of doing by because of the Holy Spirit of God, because of Jesus Christ, what they did in his life, I'd be saying, hey, can you heal me? I'd be like blind Bartimaeus yelling, hey, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I would be like, hey, can you please heal me? I know you can. But he was asking for something. And sometimes there's people in the world today that have a legitimate need. And I'm not talking about the crazy people over here. Talking about people that have legitimate needs, that think they have the answer. If I could just have a little bit more money, if I could just get a little bit more respect, if I could just have a little bit of help here, then I'd be okay. But there's something greater that they need. And we should be able to, and we are able, we should be willing to help them meet that part of their need. So the first thing I want you to think about is the request. Next thing I want you to see is the response. You see the request here. Look at the response. So they enter into the temple. They're getting ready to enter into the temple. He asks them for alms. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him. That's not what we mostly do. I mean, most of us really, with a guy standing by the cardboard, you don't want to make eye contact, because you make eye contact, then you feel like you got to roll down the window, you feel like you got to talk to him. And once again, if somebody has a legitimate need, that's one thing. But the people you don't know, to me, I don't feel comfortable. Maybe you do. I have, I think it's my dad. He gives money to them sometimes. When I'm in the car with him, he's like, roll down the window. I'm like, no. He rolled down the window. And he doesn't give them a lot. But I've been in the car with him before because he wants to help. He wants to be a blessing to somebody who has a definite need. And I understand that. That's really my heart. If I'm a little bit hardened when it comes to things because of all the phone calls I get. Used to work when I was in Bible college. Used to work midnight shift near Wilmington, North Delaware, and at a drugstore. I managed a drugstore at nighttime, and boy, we had people coming in all the time with all types of stories. So I know there's a lot of scammers out there. So that's, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people that have a need. You see the request there. What's our response supposed to be? Most of us don't fasten our eyes on them. We try to ignore it. That's the reality is, that's when we see the world out there, and because of all the craziness, we turn our eyes away from those who truly have a need. We can't do that. Their response here was, he fastened his eyes, he saw the person that had a need, he heard their cry, he didn't pretend like they didn't say anything, he didn't pretend like there wasn't a problem, he didn't pretend, it says he fastened his eyes on them, and he spoke to them. He recognized, and he, look what it keeps on going. It says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He had something to give them. He's like, yeah, they must have been rich. No, no, no. He's not talking about silver and gold here. He knows the difference that God has made in his life. He knows what Jesus Christ has done in his life. And he knows that he can help them. It says, of course he knew he could heal them. Of course that would be great. That'd be awesome to have that type of power. We would mess it up if we had it anyway. But yeah, it would be kind of neat to have that, wouldn't it? But he's saying, you have a need here. I want you to look at us. I want you to pay attention. And when we come across people that have a need, we need to recognize there's a need there. We don't need to ignore it. If they're interested and they're looking for help, we need to say, hey, look, let's talk about this. Let me help you the best way I know how. And then he turns around in verse number 5, and he gave heed unto them. Of course, they see Peter and John coming, this man who's collecting, and they're calling, and they say, hey, look at us, look at me, you know, look over here. Of course, he turns his head, and he fastens his eyes on him because he thinks he's going to receive something. It even says that in the scriptures, and he says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then said, silver and gold have I none. I'm sure at that moment in time, the guy probably was disappointed. He's like, why are you bothering me? And that's what sometimes the world is going to look at you and say, hey, look, I don't have what you think you need, but what I do have, I'm going to help you as much as I can. And sometimes the person with the great need there that's desperate, when they hear, hey, look, I don't have the money you're asking for, but they get turned off. And that's not your fault. But at the same time, how are we supposed to respond? We can't ignore the problem. We see that they respond, and you look at, and he goes, and it says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I want to encourage you that you have something to offer this world. When things are happening, the craziness is happening, you don't know what to do, you do have something. You're not powerless. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. If you have a testimony, what God's done in your life and a changed life, you have something to offer the world. It's not what they're asking for. It's not what they think they need, but it's the thing that can make the greatest difference in their life. Peter was saying, hey, look, silver and gold I have none. I don't have what you're asking for, but guess what? I do have something that's even greater. And then you see how the story goes along, and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, isn't that a great name? There is no other name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. So not only does he tell him about Christ and tries to help him, he helps give him a hand up. So many times we want to tell people the truth, but we never want to do anything to try to be an encouragement and a blessing to him. We never want to follow up. We never want to. Now, it's more than just giving the truth. It's living the truth. Let's keep on going. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You see, Luke is the one who wrote this, and you can see Dr. Luke all throughout the book giving specific things that happened, that his, and it's neat, and it says, and he leaping stood and walked. Wow. I don't know if you just picture what's happening here. He stands up, he leaps up, so he entered them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. They were excited in the house of God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, what that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So you see the response. They actually responded. They didn't ignore it. Second thing I want you to think about, they were humble. Look what it says in verse number 12. And Peter saw it. He answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now, they're surprised. This man is holding on, hugging, Peter and John, running around just praising the Lord. And then there's a crowd that's coming. So how do you know it's a crowd? It says, 5,000 people get saved. 5,000 people is a crowd. And they come running, and they're looking at Peter and John, and they're looking at him like they're gods and thinking, wow, what happened? And they're humble. They said, hey, look, don't look at us so earnestly. They wasn't like those healers on TVs, those fake guys that said, hey, look, you send us some money, I'll send you a prayer cloth. They didn't want to put their names out. Hey, write down the name, Peter, write down the name, John. Don't forget about us. Tell all your friends. We're going to be here next week, too. Now, they don't do that. They're humbled. And as we are responding to others that have a need, we don't need to make it about us. We don't need to make it about ourselves and the things that we can do and what we can offer. For such as I have is not talking about what I can do. It's talking about the change that God's made in my life and the change that God can make in your life. And if you want to know how to respond to where you can help the world, where it seems like we don't know how to help anyone, we're going to have to be humble and we're going to have to lift him up. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. They were coming to him. They were saying, hey, look, Jesus' disciples are baptizing more than your disciples. He's like, that's good. That's wonderful. He's the one that needs it. And Jesus, as I am lifted up. And that's what is happening here is Jesus is being lifted up. And so if we truly want to respond to the world that we don't know how to help, I don't got the money. I don't got the answers for those that are doing crazy things. I'm not going to answer the way they think I should. But what I do have, you're welcome to it. It made a difference in my life. It can make a difference in yours. In verse number 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at these, and why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now, Peter gets ready to preach here, and we're not going to go through the whole entire sermon here. We're going to skip ahead to chapter number 4. It's a wonderful message. Peter reminds them of their needs. Peter tells them what happens. They talk about the one that raised, verse number 19. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted. He says, look, you have a need. You need to get right. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Jump over to chapter number 4. In chapter number 4, the religious leaders hear what's going on. They're not happy. A few weeks ago, Brother Godfrey looked in this passage a little bit, and when he was there preaching, I'm thinking, you can't preach that. That's the next sermon I want to preach. And it was luckily ours is chapter 3. Chapter number 4, though, he did mention it towards the end of the chapter, but the religious leaders are unhappy. I want you to see not only their response was they actually responded, they didn't ignore it, they were humbled, but they pointed people to Christ. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to point people to ourselves. Hey, pay attention to me. Look at me. Look what I can do. No. Look at what God's done in my life. Look at the change. And that's what happens here. Look, we'll just go ahead and read because I think it's important to read down through verse number 10. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. How could somebody be grieved when someone just got healed? It's because the Sadducees and religious leaders, they had a need. They weren't meeting the need the way they thought it to. They were asking for something, but they couldn't have it because they're asking for the wrong thing. And it says here, verse number 3, and they laid hands on them because they wouldn't agree. You know what they did? They grabbed them. Someday that might happen in our world too. If we don't talk the way that we're supposed to, someday it might cost us something. And put them in hold until the next day. They put them in prison. What did they do? They healed a man. And they preached, they talked about how Jesus is the one that did it and how they crucified Jesus. For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Doesn't talk about the kids or the women, but we know at least 5,000. Came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? I mean, come on. They're not going to like the answer. They already know what the answer was. They already told the people in chapter 3. It's what made them sad. Verse number 8. I want you to see here their response. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto him, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what manner, what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He points people to Christ. This is what we need to learn. We need to be humble. And we need to, when something good happens, is praise the Lord. God help me. God can help you too. And it's nothing about me. It's what the Lord's done to me. Let me point you to Christ. The only thing that's good about me is what Christ has done. It's nothing about me. It's nothing about what I can do. It's about what Christ has done and how he has. And he points people to Christ. Let's keep on going. The stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And I love this verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ, and he's the only way to heaven. Look, skip down to verses 19 and 20. We don't want to spend too long, but they're there. They tell them, stop spreading this word. Stop talking about Jesus. Look at their response in 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I don't know about you, but I like that. It just makes sense. He looks at them and he says, you're religious leaders. You say you believe in the one true God. You know all about the commandments. Now you tell us something. Should we obey you or should we obey God more? I know you don't like the response. I know what you're asking from us. You're asking us to stay quiet. And your response, you think that's your need, and this is what you're asking. Well, your need is wrong. Your need goes against logic. It goes against the commandments of God. It goes against the word of God. And he looks at them, and he says very boldly, now look, should I obey you or should I obey God? And the answer is, obviously, everyone would say, God. That's not what the Sadducees wanted to hear. That's not what the religious leaders wanted to hear. They know that's true. They believe they're following God. They are following their little God, the little g. They're following their humanistic type viewpoint of their own rules and their own regulations and saying, you can't be talking about this Jesus. You're bringing shame to our names. And he's like, am I supposed to obey you or am I supposed to obey God? And when we've got a world out there shouting, hey, you need to stop talking about Jesus. You need to stop talking about your God. You're going to offend somebody. You're going to cause somebody to get upset. We need to say, hey, should I obey you or should I obey God? When you're saying to me, you have these needs and you have these concerns, what I have to give you is this is my God. It's Jesus. And I'm sorry if you're offended. I'm sorry if you're upset. They can talk all they want about Muhammad. They can talk all they want about Islam. They can talk all they want about their perverted different things and all their false religions. But you mention the name Jesus, they get upset. Why is that? Because they don't know what their need is. But their greatest need is, such as I have, this is all I really have that it's going to help you. I know you're asking for something that's different than what I'm giving, but what I have is Jesus. And that's all I had to give you. And they were bold. So look at their response. They did not ignore it. They were humble and they didn't say, hey, look at me. And there are a lot of people out there in our movements today that could work on their pride some. There are a lot of people even out there, because that's, God resisteth the proud. I know we're supposed to be proud. I mean, we're supposed to take strong stands. I understand that, but we can do that like Christ did. And we can, God resists the proud. We need God's help. We need God's blessing. We don't need someone that God's resisting. We need someone that God's giving more grace to, which is the humble. They did not ignore. They were humble. They pointed people to Christ, and they were bold. You can be bold without being prideful. You can have Christ in you without having to lift yourself up. Let's keep on going. So you see the first here, the request. The second thing, the response. The third thing I want you to think about is the reality. Here's the reality. Why aren't more of us giving out Jesus? Is the world gotten better? The answer is obviously no. Has the world become more Christ-like in their thinking? The answer is no. Is the world listening and leaning more to Christian principles and to biblical principles? The answer is no. So why aren't people, what's the reality here? Why did Peter and John have the ability to say to this lame man and give him what he needs? And I know what you're going to say. It was during the first century church, and they gave them miracles and powers to represent who they were representing from the one true God. We don't need that today. It's the word of God that we have, and we have the history of the church. I get all that. But why aren't we giving what we have to the world? Here's some differences between us and what Peter and John. First thing I want you to think about is the reality is we feel like we have nothing to offer. Yes, we want to help the world. We see all of them. We see all the rioting. We see all the people that are straining and struggling. You see the people that are homeless. You see the people that don't know if they're a boy or a girl. You see all the people that are dealing with sexuality problems. You see people that are dealing with how to take care of kids, wanting abortion. You're like, I don't have anything to offer them. You do. You have Christ. He's the one that can make the difference. So how can Peter and John help the guy that was in the impossible spot, but we don't even try many times? First thing is, I want you to see that they were spirit-filled. Look what it says in verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Spirit, Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. What does it mean to be spirit-filled? We're not going to take a long explanation, but what it means is that you give God yourself. You let the Holy Spirit of God lead you and direct you. He's on the throne. It's not what we want. It's not what we desire. Holy Spirit, you're in charge. You fill me. It's when we empty ourselves of our own fleshly feelings and let him take control. We're filled with the Spirit. Why aren't we being what Peter and John was, helping them, a person with an amazing problem? Many times it's just because we're not spirit-filled. Next thing I want you to think about is they had spent time with Jesus. Look what it says in verse 13. Now, these religious leaders are sitting there and they're looking at Peter and John. They're unlearned fishermen. How can they preach a message like they preached yesterday? How can 5,000 people respond? How can all these things happen? And verse 13 gives you a little bit of a understanding. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What is the reality? How come Peter and John are used this way, and we're not even willing to tell somebody about Jesus many times? They spent time with him. They spent 3.5 years with him. Yes, but you say, well, if I could walk with Jesus, I would sign up for that. Really? I mean, many of the disciples turned around and left many different times. There was only 11, and there was only 100 and some inside that room, but there was crowds that followed him. They spent time with him. Christian, there is no substitution for spending time with him. The reason why many of the times the stark reality is why we can't help people with their problems is because we haven't spent enough time with him to become like him. We're more like the world than we are like him. Peter and John, they were there and they're looking at it and they're marveling and they're saying, what's up with these guys? How come they know these things? How can they be this bold? How can they make this difference? I know what it is. They spent time with Jesus because Jesus looked like that, and Jesus did that, and Jesus said those things. The stark reality is why we don't help the world like we can. It's because we don't take time to be spirit-filled, and it's because we don't take time to be with him. Praying, reading our Bibles, just walking with him. We have so many things, and there is a long list of things that's there that we get involved with and that we do and we're a part of. And there are so much things that can take over our mind and consume our thinking. But he tells us we're supposed to love him beyond anything else. It shouldn't even be close. He tells us that we're supposed to live to honor and glorify him in everything we do, that we do for the honor and glory of God. He tells us all those things. And like Jesus looks at Peter in that garden and says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? You can't even spend an hour with me. This world is struggling and it's hurting and there's needs and they're worse off than the lame man that's laying there, because the lame man at least knows what he's asking for and he has a legitimate need. And Peter looks at him and says, look, I don't have what you're asking, but I have something so much better. And we're dealing with a world and many times whose needs are not legitimate, but they really feel like they are, and they're missing the truth. They're missing the word of God. They need Christ. And the reality is many of us believers, we choose not to be spirit-filled, and we choose not to spend time with Christ. And that's why we're not making a difference like we could. So today, do we want to help this world? And you see that lame man laying there. I think if we took an offering up for the lame man, most of us would give if we could, because we'd want to help somebody with legitimate needs. There is a world that is lost and been blinded by the devil that has great needs, and we have something to offer them. We feel like we don't have anything. Why do we feel like we don't have anything? It's because we're not spirit-filled. We feel like we don't have anything because we haven't spent time praising God and thanking God and reminding ourselves God is great and God is powerful. God is able to heal this lame man that's been lame since his mother's womb. God can help anyone else in this world with the spirit. If he can save me, he can save anyone. What did it sing in the song earlier? I think it was in Sunday school class. You know, it talked about how Jesus even loved me. If he can love someone like me, he can love someone like you. He can love someone like even a Judas. He can love someone that, like the thief on the cross. We have what they need, but we don't give it to them because we don't spend time with him and we don't seek to be spirit-filled. The stark reality is they knew that there was only one way to heaven, as it says in verse 13, actually verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Sometimes we feel like, hey, we get a better politician, a better president, we get that will fix the need. It might fix some of the world's needs. It's not going to fix the greatest need. That man didn't have to go back to the gate anymore. They're going to ask us for more taxes someday to fix the need, because you're not fixing the real problem. That man at the gate, He was able to give somebody money that was still sitting at the gate because his real problem got met. And if the real problem got met in America, there would be a lot less people that are asking for crazy things. How is it ever going to get helped? It's by us, such as I have. I don't have the $800,000 as my share. Maybe you do. But I do have Christ, and I can give it to someone. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, there is only one way to heaven. There is no other way. If you're listening online and maybe you're trusting something else and thinking, I'm going to be good, you have a need that you don't even realize that God can meet. That man sitting there asked for something, and he got something so much more because it was something that he truly, honestly needed. Think about it. The Bible tells us that we should be soul winners. Will you be a soul winner today? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. D.L. Moody once put it this way, and I thought it was good. It was in that book of devotions that many of you have. I'm hoping you're reading each day. And it said, D.L. Moody says, I'd rather win souls than be the greatest king or emperor on the earth. I'd rather win souls than be the greatest poet or novelist or literary man who ever walked the earth. My one ambition in life is to win as many souls as possible. Oh, it is the only thing worth doing to save souls and men and women. We can all do it. The same devotional on a different day, it said, ask the Lord today to help you win someone to Christ. It may start with simply inviting a neighbor or a friend to a church service. God could use a gospel tract in someone's life if you would carry one with you and give it out. Get involved with outreach in your church soul winnings efforts. In John 15:8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. So I'm wondering how many of us would be honest with ourselves before the Lord and say, I'm really not giving what I have. I have Christ. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Christ lives in me. And when Peter and John was saying, as such as I have, I can't give out the alms that this world needs, but I can not ignore the problem. I see the problem. I can respond to it. I can humbly point people to Christ, and I can be bold. And maybe instead of praying, can God help me lead someone to Christ today? Maybe ask and say, Lord, it's been a long time since I won someone to Christ. Could you help me in the next month or during 2021 to use me to bring someone to Christ and then put forth the effort? We have something to offer this world, but many of us are keeping inside, not on purpose, but it's because we choose not to spend time with them. We're not being spirit-filled, and we're looking at the world saying, you're going crazy, I can't help you. But in all reality, such as I have, I can give you. I can't say what you want me to say. I can't do what you want me to do. It goes against my conscience. It goes against the Word of God. But what I do have, I can point people to Christ humbly and be bold about it. How many today would say, you know what? I can make that commitment to try to win someone to Christ this month or this year. I can make myself in a spot to make myself usable, to be able to let God use me to bring someone to him. As such as I have, give I unto you. Peter and John, if they would have ignored him, they probably would have done what most of people did, what most of us may have done. He's there every day. I'll just get him tomorrow. But no, they said, there's a need there, and God can use me to meet that need. Let's ask God to use us to meet the needs of the world that's around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for this story. I know there's many times when silver and gold I don't have. And there's many times people in this world are asking me for things I just can't do. But there is something that's needed, and I have that. People might not understand that they need it. They might not even realize it. Very, very, very rarely do they ask for it. But I can live a life that shows that I'm different. like Peter and John did, as their bonus, what was said about them. They said they had spent time with Jesus. I can live a life that reflects Christ, that shows the world that, yes, even though you have so much turmoil, I can have peace. You can have peace also if you let Christ do the work in you. And Lord, I know most of the people here, I've heard almost everybody's testimony here and know that they've been saved, many times, many of them baptized, many of them members of our church. But there are a few here, Lord, I don't know if they're Christians. Lord, I know sometimes people have a false testimony too. They have such a great need in their life. Many times they don't even realize it. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to convict their hearts. Help that one or that two understand they died today, that they would enter into a Christless eternity and spend eternity in hell. And they have nothing to offer this world with the problems that they have, the world has. Even though I'm sure they would like to help. But Lord, I pray that they get that need settled in their life so they can help someone else by giving what they have. Christ, the power of prayer, the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God. We have much to offer the world. I know it's not what they want, Lord, but it's truly what they need. In Jesus' name, amen.